Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Last Sunday, I introduced to you the four wows. I called them the four wows. The four wows associated with the end of Jesus' earthly ministry here on earth. And we're going to real quickly review those wows this morning, because wow number four is what we're going to concentrate in the message, but I want to review. Wow number one is Jesus as the Passover Lamb who died for the sins of the world. Wow number two was Jesus rose from the grave in defeat of sin and death. Wow number three was Jesus remained for another 40 days on this earth, giving vital instructions to his followers and to us. And wow number four up today is Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower believers to accomplish the mission of reaching the entire world with the gospel. Now, wow number four happened on Pentecost. And so we're going to go straight into that. We'll start reading at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. For those of you who have your scriptures with you, you'll want to follow along today. We're going to go from 1 to 41, but I'm not going to read all of it out loud. So you might want to be looking at the passages that I skip. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I'm going to pause already right there. When you're reading scripture, certain questions should come up. You should be asking yourself questions. And the two questions that come to my mind when I read this first was, what's Pentecost? And who were these people who were gathered together in one place? So in answer to that first question, what is Pentecost? We Christians, if you've been a part of a Christian church for some time, you have heard of Pentecost, and you think of Pentecost more than likely as that day when God sent the Holy Spirit down to empower his followers. We know that as Pentecost. But according to this passage, Pentecost pre-existed what we Christians call Pentecost. So the Jews observed a Pentecost. Pente is five, right? Pentecost is five times 10, 50 days after the Passover. 50 days after the Passover. To the Jews, the Pentecost, or it was also known as Feast of Weeks or Shavuot. Shavuot. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. That was another of three festivals when Jewish men, faithful Jewish men who could, were supposed to travel to Jerusalem. You'll remember I said Passover was one of those, right? That's why there were so many people in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. They were there for the Passover. And here we are with another one of those high feast days, and all of these folks from all over the known world were in Jerusalem again. What were they celebrating? For the Jews, the celebration was about the harvest. Now, Pentecost occurs, we're a little bit ahead of time of Pentecost, but this just happens to be where we're at in Acts. Pentecost, 7 weeks after Passover. So we still got another 3.5 weeks or so before the Pentecost arrives on the calendar. But we're taking it because that's where we're at. And so it's a celebration of harvest, which is kind of strange because, at least in our way of thinking about the weather, this is not harvest time. We're not harvesting things here in Texas, right? But there, they had a winter wheat crop. Probably winter barley as well. They've got a milder climate in Israel than we have here in Texas. They grow crops through the winter, and they harvest them this time of year, and then they celebrate that harvest on the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. Now, it's very appropriate. See, each God has this absolutely masterful master plan. These festivals that he put in place with the Jews had purposes well beyond what he had revealed to them at that time. Just like we learned Passover was really about his one true Passover lamb, Jesus, being crucified on that day, Pentecost being an observance of harvest on that day, a huge harvest was going to begin. A huge harvest of human souls. 3,000 people were going to be saved on that first Pentecost. And that harvest is continuing to today. We're still harvesting and reaping the benefits of what occurred on Pentecost at that time. So, who were these folks who were gathered together? We know who they were because of chapter 1 in Acts, and that's where Jesus had instructed his followers, his disciples, and others besides the 12 who were gathered with them to stay in Jerusalem until the giving of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 from chapter 1. Was part of our lesson last week. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm a numbers guy, and sometimes I get on rabbit trails as a result, but I like to figure out the numbers, right? It says a few days. I get it down to almost exactly 7. We learned last week that Jesus ascended 40 days after his resurrection. That puts his ascension roughly 43 days after his death on the cross, which was Passover. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. So that means that between his ascension and Pentecost is approximately 7 days. So 7 days after he tells the disciples and he promises them this gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, he didn't tell them it was coming on Pentecost, but on Pentecost, these folks are obeying Jesus. They are waiting. They are waiting together. They're waiting together. So let's one more verse from our passage last week, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We spoke about that last Sunday. I just want to bring that back up as a way of emphasizing the reason he is sending the Holy Spirit is to empower his disciples to accomplish this mission. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Let's start reading again in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I almost tried to get Timothy to get a sound like that, sound effect to put in there, and I thought, I'll probably scare everybody and wake everybody up. We wouldn't want to do that. So they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They were there for Pentecost. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language?" A sound like the blowing of a violent wind must have been pretty loud. It wasn't constrained to this house that they were in because people from all over heard it and they came to check this out. What's going on? And what are this spilling out of the Holy Spirit spilled out of that house and onto the streets, and people were hearing their own languages spoken by folks they knew obviously didn't know their language. They were bewildered and amazed and asked, "How is it that these simple Galileans can speak our language?" And I suspect eloquently. I suspect eloquently. Throw up that map, Molly. The next few verses are going to be represented on this map because the next few verses list all the countries, the places in the known world at that time who had representatives present on that day. Each one of these is listed in the next few verses. Did God have a plan? God knew what he was doing, sending the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. These folks are there. They're going to receive this gift of salvation that they get to carry home and share with their people, with their families, with their loved ones, other people who need to hear of the salvation through Jesus Christ. Takeaway number one for today: God had a plan. God always has a plan. And his plan is always far bigger and more complex than we can imagine. Your presence in the given place at a given time is a part of God's plan. We each get to participate in his masterful plan. But we have to choose to do so. We have to choose to do so. Are you participating in his grand plan? Let's pick up in verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." I'm going to pause there. There are always going to be naysayers. There just are. I mean, this is the Holy Spirit being given for the first time, and there were those who wanted to insist the people were drunk. This is takeaway number two. There will always be naysayers to his plan and to your part in that plan. When you take up your part in that plan, there will be those folks who choose to discourage you. Those folks who choose to stand in the way. Those folks who choose to say, you're crazy. What do you think you're doing going down to that little church that meets on Main Street over there in some old storefront? That's crazy. And it may be. That's our takeaway number two. Stay the course and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Peter did. That day he stood to proclaim the truth of what had happened. So let's continue reading as he does so. In verse 14. We'll pick up in verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk. As you suppose, it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so these next verses, I believe five verses, are Peter quoting from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is in the Old Testament, y'all. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Another major prophecy being fulfilled on this fourth wow. God chose to begin, and I'm saying begin because this prophecy is not fully fulfilled yet. It lasts from this day, Pentecost, all the way until the Lord Jesus returns as he promised he would. Those are the last days. When someone wants to say, we're in the last days, agree with them. We are. But when you say you're in the last days, that doesn't mean Jesus is coming next week or next year or even within our lifetime. But we are in what Scripture would call the last days. And it will be characterized by what we read just now that Peter spoke about Joel. Continuing our reading in verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Wow. This is Peter. This is the same Peter who denied Christ three times because he was scared to death that whatever they were going to do to Jesus, they might do to him. This is happening in the midst of Jerusalem. This is not some faraway Galilee place. This is right in the place. This is. I mean, there's got to be a host of the religious leaders, the same ones who call for Jesus' crucifixion. They're present. They're hearing these things. And Peter's pointing them out. You killed Jesus. And he didn't care. He didn't care anymore. Because this wasn't the same Peter. This was Peter after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. This was Peter empowered to take on the mission that Jesus had given them just moments before ascending to heaven. The mission, what he had equipped them for 3 years to do, go out, be his witnesses, first in Jerusalem, which is what Peter's doing right now, then to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you the power, the courage, the boldness, the words to go out and be a part of God's plan to fulfill the mission, the Great Commission. I want to park here just for a bit because we've just been introduced to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is that portion of the Trinity that I think can be most confusing, most confounding, most ignored. And a lot of times it's easy to just not talk about the Holy Spirit because of that, but I don't think the Lord would have us do that. And I mentioned the Trinity, so God expresses himself to us, has expressed himself through history in three ways: as the Father, the Creator God, as the Son in Jesus, and as the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit which was sent to dwell in us, but only, okay, the Holy Spirit could only be sent when it was sent. Could not have been sent prior to Jesus' death because we were not holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit. We could not be the temple of the Holy Spirit in which he resided because we had sin dirtying our lives. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us to make us holy. Now, does that mean you don't sin anymore? No, it doesn't mean you don't sin anymore. But it means in God's eyes, the penalty for your sin is paid. Therefore, you are white as snow, just as Jesus was. And therefore, the Holy Spirit can reside in you. Remember when Jesus died, what happened in the temple? Something big happened in the temple. The curtain that separated the place where God's Spirit resided from where man could go tore in two. It tore in two because the Holy Spirit was no longer going to be just in that building made of rock and stone. The Holy Spirit was going to be sent to us, to dwell in us. We are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. Takeaway number three for us today. As a believer, the Holy Spirit is available to you to live in you, to empower you to live out God's plan, to choose to be a part of His God, His plan, and to be empowered to complete that. While you and I should be emboldened and empowered by the Holy Spirit within us, that cannot and does not happen without a willingness. Okay, we've talked about this before. God never removes our choices. He never makes decisions, enforces them upon us. You always have the freedom to say no. And so even as a believer, and as the Holy Spirit attempts to work His work in you, you can be saying no to the Holy Spirit, and you can be saying, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not ready for that. I want to encourage you The more you say yes to the Holy Spirit, the more you will hear from the Holy Spirit. The more you will be connected with the Holy Spirit. The more you say no to the Holy Spirit, the less you will be able to hear and know and receive from the Holy Spirit. Eventually, you become callous to what the Holy Spirit is trying to work in you if you just keep saying no. You have to will the Holy Spirit to work within you. And you will that by being obedient to that still small voice that He is putting in you. You also will it by making yourselves available to the Word of God. We've talked about this in the past. The Word of God, the Bible, is how God speaks to us in addition to the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit impressing on you? Have you trained yourself to listen? Trained yourself to be sensitive to the Spirit of God? Step into God's plans for your life. Quiet yourself. Get away from the busyness of your day-to-day grind and just set aside some time. Sweet time to spend with the Holy Spirit. Wait. Just as the disciples, they were waiting for 7 days. Wait. Wait. Anticipating what God is going to do. Wait for purpose. Wait with desire. Desire to know the next step. Desire to be obedient to His lead, His plan. As I've reminded you before, faith and the giving of the Holy Spirit is not about you. It's not about you. We want to make it about us. It's not about you. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you start obeying the Holy Spirit, it's about God's people. It's about doing what He wants us to do with the people around us, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, witnessing Jesus before them. We're going to jump to verses 36 to 41, and this will kind of close us out today. Verse 36, therefore, this is still Peter in the midst of his sermon, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And that's us. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's go back to verse 39. Have you been far off? Is the Lord calling you? Then, as verse 40 says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. In 2 weeks, on May 15th, we'll be having a baptismal time over at the city pool. I will mention right now, that hasn't been checked out with the city pool yet. So But we will have it at somebody's pool, if not at the city pool. So there's that. And anyway, it's going to happen somewhere. You're all invited and encouraged to be a part of that. And I ask each of you, consider your own baptism or lack thereof. Have you been baptized as a believer? If not, then I would ask you to prayerfully consider making this a time when you would choose to be baptized. It doesn't matter if you've been a believer all your life. If you've never had the opportunity to undergo believer baptism, this is an opportunity. If that's you, catch me after church or call me during the week, sometime between now and then. I'd like to just have a brief conversation about that with you. Okay, we're going to quickly review our takeaways from today. Number one, God always has a grand plan, and He includes you in that plan, but only to the extent you choose to be a part of it. Number two, there will always be naysayers. Don't let them influence you against God's plan. Number three, as a believer, the Holy Spirit is available to you to live in you, to empower you to live out God's plan for you that is really for everyone else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to embrace the Holy Spirit. Help us to obey Your call on our lives. Help us to take our place in Your grand and masterful plan. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.